We're speaking today with Glenn Neely, founder of NeoWave. Welcome, Glenn.
Hi, Patrice. How's it going?
Good. Glenn, our topic today is, why is it so difficult to predict the market right now? Why is it difficult to predict and successfully trade?
Well, this is sort of a complicated discussion to some degree. It's a very interesting phenomenon related to wave theory that most wave analysts have no idea exists. Most people who approach wave analysis are either taught to believe that markets are predictable all the time as long as you can figure out the wave count. But the reality is that wave counts are predictable some of the time, along with market predictability, and then sometimes they're not. This is all part of what I call NeoWave, which are the advancements to wave theory and, you know, the additional concepts, new structures, new rules, the logical design of NeoWave that's not present in the original LA wave theory. So it's all part of NeoWave. So this process that markets go through between what I call specific predictability, general predictability, and then unpredictability, and then back to general and then specific predictability is all part of NeoWave. It's not part of the original wave theory.
And so where are we in the general predictability or unpredictability?
There's a chart, I think, that will be included with this interview based on the highs and lows of the S&P for each half year. So I've taken the highs and lows of each 6 months and plotted those in the sequence that they actually occurred. This is another part of NeoWave where it specifically describes in my book, Mastering LA Wave, which predates my decision to term it NeoWave, that it's, I specifically address the issue on how to plot charts and what kind of data to use. That's in chapter 2, page 12, where I say that the market should always be plotted on a cash basis because cash prices don't deteriorate with time, like futures data and other types of data, and that the highs and lows should be plotted in order, not with the high and low on the same vertical plane, but they should be plotted in order. So you create a chart that actually creates wave patterns. If you'd use bar charts, which most people use, you're not really looking at wave patterns, so you can't really decipher, you know, wave structure.
Mm-hmm.
So using the chart that's connected to this interview, that's a wave chart created with high-low cash data on the highs and lows of every 6 months for the S&P 500.
And we're clearly seeing a lot of volatility. We're seeing some waves.
Right.
And then what's concerning me is we're seeing a lot of volatility in what your future prediction is.
Right. Well, part of that's due to the unpredictable nature of what we're experiencing, we'll continue to experience. And part of that's due to the structure that we're in, which I think, at least on a six-month chart, is a contracting triangle, even though there's an alternate possibility in red, which could be what's called a terminal formation, which would be more bearish, but ultimately longer term, more bullish, as ironic as that is.
So can you just give us a little bit more insight about where we are right now in the wave patterns and why it's so unpredictable right now?
Let's start with the high in 2000. That was the end of a multi-decade advance and under wave theory, a five-wave structure with what's called a fifth-wave extension. The pattern concluded. And then we went into this bear market. And the bear market began technically September 5th of 2000. The highest high was back in February of 2000, but the actual date or start of the bear market underway theory would be September 5th, 2000. So that decline began. It was a very directional, trendy kind of move. It was extremely predictable. That's because we were in the very early stages of a large 20-year corrective formation. And my ability to predict market action for that two-year period was truly stunning to most people. It was the most predictable market action I'd almost seen in my entire career because we were at the very beginning of a really long-term formation. That's the specific period of predictability where you can really precisely say what's going to happen day to day, week to week, month to month, and it turned out to be, you know, almost precisely correct.
So at the very beginning of a major wave, that there's more predictability.
There's
there.
A high degree of predictability,
mm-hmm.
like to the point where it's almost impossible to believe you can be that specific and that accurate.
Mm.
Then after that first phase ended, which is marked as wave A because we're in a correction, it was an impulsive pattern B marked wave one, but corrective first wave is going to be wave A. And that once that finishes, you move into the next phase of predictability, which declines from what I call specific predictability to general predictability. So from around 2002, 2003, early 2003, It shifted from where I couldn't really specifically say how the market was going to go sideways or up, but I knew it was going to go sideways or up. So I was able to generally say the trend is up for the next 5 to 8 years, that we would go all the way back above the highs of 2000, and that's somewhere in that area we'd have a top, and then the next phase of the bear market would begin. So I could generally say that's what's going to happen, but I couldn't say today we're going to hit 1,500, we're going to drop down to 1,495, and tomorrow we're going to go here, which is the kind of predictability I had during the 2000 to 2002 decline. I mean, extreme levels of predictability. So that general phase, you know, with some difficulty in making specific predictions, the general prediction was correct. The market did exactly what it was supposed to do, generally speaking. And then from January 2008 all the way until now, and probably all the way until sometime in 2012, we're in the unpredictable portion of the structure that started at the high in 2000. So it means we're going to be in a unpredictable phase of wave pattern development for the next, you know, well, starting in 2008, for about a 4 to 6 year period. That's a pretty long time to not be able to specifically predict what's going to happen.
Well, and then that makes it virtually impossible to trade. I mean, well, how do we make money during the next 4 to 6 years?
Well, it does make trading far more dangerous, and the focus has to shift as you move toward the center of formations. The focus has to shift away from dependability on wave structure to trade and assumed, you know, wave patterns that you're expecting to occur, and moving away from that and moving into more bottom line oriented capital management, stop movement, careful entry so that you're as close to your stop as you can be, and things like that, which are outside the realm of wave theory. The interesting part, though, of the last the interesting part of this unpredictable phase that began in January 2008 is that it also goes through its own period of specific predictability, general predictability, unpredictability, general predictability, and then specific predictability, which will occur over that entire 4 to 6 year period. So despite the fact that we were moving into an unpredictable period in 2008, for a very short period of time, for about 6 months to a year, we were in the highly specific predictable phase within a larger unpredictable environment.
Wow. And your chart does show that. So that's the SGUGS
right.
in your chart.
Okay. Right. So the S stands for specific, then general, then unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very weird period for me, because I specifically knew back in January 2008 when I actually released a public proclamation on the internet that the bull market was over and we were going to go into bear market for 4 to 6 years. People thought I was out of my mind at that time, thought it was impossible. I indicated we'd actually go all the way back down to the lows of 2002 and probably break it by a, you know, specific amount, which I marked on this chart that I sent out to the public, and it turned out to be almost precisely correct. So for about the first 6 months to a year, I was almost exactly correct about what was happening. What I wasn't able to do, because within that specific period, we were also in a larger unpredictable period, what I wasn't able to say during the decline is exactly how it was going to decline. So unlike the period from 2000 to 2002, where I could not only know that the trend was down, but exactly how it's going to do it, in this case, I knew the trend was down, but I didn't know exactly how it was going to happen.
Because we were in an unpredictable phase.
A larger unpredictable phase,
mm-hmm.
within a smaller predictable phase.
Right, right.
So I was able to say it's going to happen, it's going to go here, it's going to take about this much time, but how it's going to get from point A to point B and what the structure is going to be, I just didn't know. And it was very difficult and confusing, even though it was a best trading period in, you know, 5-7 years. Once the low in March of 2009 occurred, then we've now moved out of the specific short-term predictability and now into a general predictability, but within a larger unpredictable environment. So from 2009 upward, I could say to some degree the trend is up, but I wasn't sure how high it was going to go or exactly how it was going to get there or how long it was going to last.
Wow.
And it's only been just recently that I can finally say that rally is now finished, and now we're going to be going down and sideways for about a year or more, but I don't know exactly how it's going to decline, how far it's going to go, which is why those two scenarios are listed with the green and the red. One's more bearish than the other, but it's showing the two primary scenarios, but I don't know which one it's going to be, and I don't know how it's going to form, you know, what kind of patterns are going to form during the decline.
And according to what your patterns you're showing here is you've got some extreme volatility going.
Right. And I suspect that's because we're in the center of a very large 20-year correction, and that's the greatest period of uncertainty. Whenever you're in this unpredictable environment, which we're now on an unpredictable environment on two different time frames, it opens the market up tremendously to outside influences, geopolitical events, unexpected economic circumstances, things like the tariffs attack in 2001. That was within the center of the decline of the drop from 2000 to 2002, or close to the center. And so there was a period of unpredictableness there. We're dealing with that kind of environment now where news, unexpected events, lots of uncertainty, fear is going to reign supreme for the next year or so.
And then that contributes greatly to a volatile market.
Right, and the unpredictableness of the market as a result. And this is partly due to the fact that most people are, there's not enough of the public committed to a specific scenario. You get major tops and bottoms in markets when the majority of people are committed to a scenario that turns out to be wrong. So like the highs in 2000, the majority of the public were heavily invested in the stock market. They thought, you know, it was going to the moon, the internet was taking over the world and all that stuff, and they all get caught in this massive bear market because they were all, it was a lopsided situation where too many people believed something, they were all doing the same thing at the same time.
Right.
In an unpredictable environment toward the center, you're dealing with a lot of uncertainty, so there's not that conviction level where everybody's doing the same thing, but there's a lot of divergent opinion and polarization of opinion, so the market can swing in wild ways because there's a lot of money either sitting on the sidelines or contrary to what the other half is doing, and if they decide to join in at the last minute and do what the other side is doing, it can move the market dramatically and very quickly. So it allows for a lot of randomness that you don't get near the beginning and end of patterns.
It's like throwing an extra person on a teeter-totter. Suddenly,
yeah, exactly.
Suddenly one end goes real high and the other goes...
The rules change dramatically.
Mm-hmm. So, Glenn, can you wrap up market predictability for 2010 and then maybe revisit again briefly some ideas of what we will need to do for successfully trading in the future?
Well, the unpredictable environment should continue for several more years, certainly throughout 2010, and the risk of violent, unexpected external events that affect the stock market are very high for this entire year. Generally speaking, wave theory suggests now that we're in a sideways or downtrend, but because we're in the unpredictable phase within a larger unpredictable phase, there's extreme risk of me being wrong about what I'm saying. But what I am certain about is that we will be in a sideways or downtrend for 4 to 6 years beginning January 2008. That means that this bear market will not finish at least until 2012, and it could stretch out to 2014. And then from there, the unpredictable large phase will come to an end, and we'll move back into a general predictability phase like we had from 2002 to 2007, where I can easily say the trend is sideways or up, but I just don't know how it's going to go sideways and up. So this unpredictable environment is going to last for quite a while longer, unfortunately.
And then trading advice for us during this unpredictable time.
Well, the only way to deal with unpredictable markets from a wave theory standpoint is to have what I call secondary or, you know, second tier, third tier types of technologies and trading strategies, risk management, capital management that is independent of wave theory. So that way, when things are harder to predict, they're going to be harder to trade. And when they're harder to trade, you need to be much more careful about your risk management, protecting your capital, entering closer to support or resistance levels so your risk is less and your potential is greater. Those are the kinds of things that we can go into at a, you know, future date, but that's what has to be considered when you're in this kind of environment.
So the emphasis is less on predicting the stock market and more on very careful strategic trading.
Right, and preservation of capital.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your time, Glenn.
Okay. Thanks, Patrice.